So today I just wanted to share with you about following God in your daily life. You know, there's just so many things that are truths in the Word of God, and sometimes it's like, okay, so how do I apply that to my life today? What can I do? How can I use this in this situation? And so I'm going to share some different things, some personal experiences, some other, of course, share the Word with you, and just to encourage us. Just encourage us to keep running our race, to remind ourselves of why we love God. What a difference that it made when we chose Him to be our Lord and Savior. It made such a huge difference in our daily walk with Him, in our daily life. We have hope. We have joy. We have peace. There's so many things that that we get because we chose to serve Jesus. And so we're going to just kind of stir ourselves up. And the area that I really want us to kind of go towards is just learning how to follow His prompting, to hear His voice, to follow after what He has for us to do. You know, we have an assurance that God will lead us no matter what. In every situation that we find ourselves, that God is there and He will lead us. And that as we follow God in our daily decisions, we can begin to have a trust. We see that He was right in certain things. And so then it develops this trust that we have for Him and this desire to want to keep going with Him and following His leading. And so every single day we have decisions that we have to make. And some of these choices is we can decide to do it our way, or we can decide to do it God's way. And these things come in our lives all the time. And so we have to decide, okay, how do I know if this is the will of God? How do I know what His voice sounds like? How do I know if He's really speaking to me? How do I know if He even cares? And so we find these answers in the Word of God. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be all in for God. If you're here on a Wednesday night, I would say you want to be all in for God. There's lots of things that you could be doing, lots of choices that you could have made, but you chose to be here on a Wednesday night. And so I am believing you want to be all in for God. And so we read in Revelation about the lukewarm church. They weren't hot for God. They weren't cold for God. They were basically indifferent to the things of God. I don't want to be like that. I want people to know, hey, I love God. I want to serve Him. I want to run after the things that He has for me. I want to go wholeheartedly for the things of God. And so, you know, when we weren't saved, when we hadn't made Jesus our Lord and Savior, you couldn't see clearly the truth. You couldn't hear from God. He wasn't speaking directly to your heart. He was drawing you. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:15, it says, but even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. And they're meaning the Jewish people. And all of our hearts, actually. A veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Another version says there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so when we didn't have God, we didn't have access. We didn't hear Him clearly. There was this cloud that made it like we were distracted by other things because we didn't see things clearly. But when we chose to make Jesus our Lord and Savior, that veil was ripped off. That veil is gone. And so now we have this ability to see truth for what it is. And we can allow God to transform us into his image. And he does that not in our strength. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. But it's by the Spirit of God. He is the one that's in us, transforming us, helping us to be what he intended. He already has the plan. All we do is show up. All we do is say yes to him. You know, I love it when there's people in the church that if I need something, they say yes. It's such a blessing. And, you know, if I go and I'm needing help with something and then I ask and they say yes, I'm always like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the help. Well, you know what? God is looking for people to say yes to him. I want to be one of those people. I want to be all in for the things of God. And if he says, hey, Shelley, will you do this? I want to hear it and I want to say yes. I will do that for you. And so if we look at John 10:27, you may be saying, well, how do I know if I can hear the voice of God? How do I know what that sounds like? But this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know what? You can hear the voice of God because he said you can. He will prompt you. He will lead you. He will put things in your heart. You have a decision at that point to follow or not to follow. He does not command it and make you follow him. He is saying, here's what I'm saying. Now you choose. Pastor Jim had a great series on choose life. Choose life. I set before you life and death. Choose life. And so how do you know which is life? How do you know when he is leading you, when he is telling you certain things? Well, we can develop that ability to hear God. And how we can know is hear the voice of God is that we can read his word. He makes things very plain in his word for us. He is constantly giving us directions when we open the word and we read it. And in the New Testament, the New Covenant, that is specifically to us as the church today, things that he is telling us, things that he's showing us. He's revealing himself to us. He's revealing how to walk in love with one another. He's revealing truths from his word. Do this, don't do that. It's a constant thing that he will never lead you. His voice will never lead you away from the truth that is in the word of God. If you ever are wondering, is this God or not? And it's something that is blatantly not in the word of God, something that God is telling you don't do in the word of God, I can tell you right now, that is not the voice of God. He will never lead you away from what the word of God says. So if you're wanting to know truth, you can start by reading the word of God. The word of God is actually God speaking to you. And so we have a helper, the Holy Spirit, that he comes alongside and he reveals the truth. So when we're reading the word of God, we can ask him to help. Help us to see, help us to know, help us to divide in our life, how to apply certain things into our life. So let's look at John 14:25. This is Jesus again speaking. He says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So as we are following God, as we are going after, we can be at peace. all the time. He is giving us peace. But the Holy Spirit is the one that is leading you into that truth. He's saying, hey, let me show you, let me explain to you things that are in the Word of God. And it, we can look at John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Bible is the Word, and the Bible is God. And so as you're reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit, who is God, is able to make things clear to you. And there may be certain things that at this point you don't fully understand, but you keep going to Him, and He keeps revealing Himself to you, and He keeps showing Himself to you. Let's look at John 16:13. It says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, which He has come, we have the Holy Spirit now. When the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth, not just partial truth. He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. We have this promise. God is not trying to play hide and seek. He is not trying to make it very difficult for us to search for Him and not find Him. He wants to reveal Himself. He has given us His Holy Spirit that the Bible says is on the inside of us. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. He's given us a helper that's with us 24/7. We get to have access to Him all the time. And so we can go to Him and He will lead us. He will show us. He will prompt us things according to His word. He will not, like I said, He will not tell you to marry someone that is already married. That would not be a way that the Holy Spirit would lead you, because that goes against the Bible. So He would not lead you that way. He will not tell you to do something that is a sin. He would not lead you into things that are bad for you, that would hurt you, that would cause pain. He wants you, He wants what's best for you. The Bible says in John 10:10 that He came that we have life and have that abundantly. And so as we trust Him, as we look to Him, as we listen to Him, that is where He is leading us. And so He will. We will grow in our ability to follow God by listening to His promptings, because He is already on the inside of us. And so His Spirit is speaking to our spirit, and He will prompt us. And then as we act on them, we will see the truth of God's word beginning to grow in our lives. And then we are also training ourselves to follow Him. You know, these promptings are not usually audible voices. He can do that, but most of the time the promptings are just like a knowing on the inside. Something just comes up from your heart and you're like, I think I should do this. And so as you act on that, or you don't act on that, you find out, okay, that was God, that wasn't God. And you are learning that, okay, when this is what the voice of God sounds like to me, this is how He leads me. And so we find that when we follow Him, that He has come to set us free. And so if you look at John 8:32, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we already read in John 16 that He will guide you into truth. So that truth is what sets you free. So it doesn't matter what has bound you. It could be addictions. It could be depression. It could be worry. It could be marriage issues. It could be children issues. It could be all sorts of different things, things that are trying to bind you. But as you press into God, as you are looking to Him, He is guiding you. He is leading you. He will prompt you. He will say, he will give you wisdom on what to do. And so when you're needing to make a decision, if it goes against the Bible, you know, don't do it. Don't do it. It's that simple. If it's in the Bible and you're like, well, I don't know if I should do that, but the Bible says to do it, do it. Don't go against what the Word is telling you. Do what the Word is telling you. And then you are acting on what the Holy Spirit is leading you, and he is making things real to you. And so what I am talking about tonight is being aware how God leads you, how he communicates with you. And so there are so many practical things that we deal with day in and day out. And you're like, I don't know if God even cares, but he does. He does care. He cares about your marriage. You know, being married, there are a lot of opportunities to listen to God's promptings. Have you ever noticed that? You know, sometimes the prompting is don't drop that bomb. It wants to come out of your mouth so strong. You just want to say something that's, you know what that response is going to be if you say it. And you have a choice at that moment to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit or to yield to your mouth. And at that point, depending on what you do, you found out if you did follow God or not. The aftermath says it all. Was I led by God, or did I yield to my flesh at that moment? And so there are times that God the Holy Spirit will be telling you, don't be critical. Don't nag. Don't be mean. Don't be rude. Don't believe the worst. All of those are actually God on the inside of you, communicating you with you, prompting you, helping you to make good decisions. And guess what? On all those promptings, every day, you have a choice to listen to it and to act on it, or just to be like, nope, not this time. I want to do it my way. And then you reap the benefits of either way, whatever you chose. And so there are other times that you're going to have promptings that the Holy Spirit will be on the inside of you, and he will prompt you to say good things. Sometimes he will prompt you to get flowers. Sometimes he will prompt you to write a card. Sometimes he will say, encourage right now. You know, you see something that the person may be feeling a little insecure on something, and you have the ability to make them more insecure, or encourage them and say something that they need to hear. Sometimes there are times where the Holy Spirit will prompt you to walk in love, to show love, to overlook a fault, to do all sorts of different things that God, he is the one that created marriage. He wants it to be successful. He wants you to enjoy it. And so he is in with you to help you make those decisions. Personally, there have been all sorts of things, but especially to say the words, I'm sorry. You know, there are times where I just know, okay, say I'm sorry. And I'm just telling you, if your emotions are involved, that's usually like the last thing that you want to say. Maybe it's different for you, but for me, if I'm mad, I don't want to say I'm sorry. I want to win the fight. Yeah. I want it to be known that I was right. And there's just times where I'm not right, and I need to say I'm sorry. And so, you know, I'd rather put the blame on the other person. You know, this wouldn't have happened if you hadn't done that. Okay, so you guys haven't ever had that. But I'm just telling you, I have experienced that. And I've had to go, and it's a humbling of yourself to say, I'm sorry. I could have done that differently. I could have said that differently. Even if you weren't fully wrong, but you didn't say it right. Sometimes there's just, you need to say, I'm sorry. And so the Holy Spirit is directing you. And guess what? If you'll yield to that, he will help you humble yourself. He will help you get the words out. And then there's just been times where I get the words out and then I blow up again. Have you ever done that? You're just like, oh, I'm sorry, again. I'm sorry. But God is prompting you. And as you listen to those promptings, He will lead you. You're developing your ear to hear. You know that was the voice of God. You know, because your flesh did not want to say, I'm sorry. That did not come from you, from your heart. That came, that didn't come from your head, because your head just wanted to say anything but I'm sorry. But your heart, you're yielding to God. And so God will lead you to walk in love. He will lead you to say the right things that you should say. He will lead you to not say the things you shouldn't say. He knows how your spouse will take things. He knows where your spouse is coming from. And so He will give you wisdom how to address an issue. You know, sometimes it's not that you're wrong in what you are saying, but it's the way that you're saying it that can create the problem. There may be truth in what you're saying, but you're saying it in a way that it's hard for your spouse to hear. And so God will help you to be able to speak things in a way that the other person can hear and can take it. And then He will give you wisdom to address certain issues. You know, there's certain things that you don't just push under the rug. There's certain things that you do need to get through to the other side. And when you are doing that, you know, He will give you that wisdom. Okay, this is how to say this. This is how to do this. And He will lead you. So another example from my life, and though I'm saying my life, is because I just feel like it would be rude of me to say it from your life. So I'll say from my life. So when we were newly married, we heard that it was important to date, even after marriage. And so it took a few years for us to get solid in dating one another after marriage, like having it steady and every week. But we chose to deliberately make choices and decisions to go on a date. And so so now, every Saturday, we go on a date. That's just what we do. Saturday night, if there's not something else going on, we're going on a date. But like this weekend, we had something going on. So we couldn't go on a date on Saturday. So instead, we went on Monday. And so we still made time for it, because that was something that someone told us we felt that, hey, this is a truth to put into practice in our lives. I'm not saying you have to do it in your life. I'm just saying we did it in our life, and we have reaped the benefit of it. And so it has helped our relationship with one another, because, you know, if you happen to get in a discussion that wasn't pleasant and you still have your date no matter what, you have to go out, and you can either just be mad at each other the whole time, or you can work it through. And then there's other times that you're not upset or anything, and you just go out and have a good time and talk, and you don't have children interrupting. And my children are older, so they don't do that. But when they were younger, if we were at home, you know, there's always something. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. You know, so you get out of the house and you enjoy time with one another, and your choice to invest into your marriage makes your marriage stable, but it also makes your home stable for your family. And so God designed marriage, and He wants you to be happily married. He doesn't want you to be miserable. Oh, got married, and now just waiting for the other person to go to heaven. Or for you to go to heaven. He wants you to enjoy it the whole way through. And so if you are both endeavoring to walk in love with one another and to listen to His promptings, that marriage has the capability of being heaven on earth. You have somebody that's on your side that will listen to you, that doesn't run away when, you know, things get tough. They stick with you through the good, the bad, the ugly. That's such a blessing to have that stability in your life. And so God, even if maybe you're the only one that's choosing to follow God, to love God, He can still help you be in a place where you can be content no matter what crazy stuff the other person is doing. You're just content. You're just, okay, God, I love you, and you're helping me, and you're giving me wisdom, and I'm learning not to say everything that I want to say, and just to be at peace and putting it in your hand and casting the care of it on Him. And so then we also have the opportunity to follow God's promptings when you're raising children. And there's a lot of truths in the Bible on how to raise your children. There's a lot of things that the Bible says. And so you can start there. Proverbs is a book that has a lot of wisdom on what to do when you're raising your children. And as you act on those truths, the Holy Spirit will help you. You know, sometimes it's not easy. And so your flesh doesn't want to, or you're too tired, or whatever. You know, God will help you to do His word. He will prompt you things. You know, there's times that you will make mistakes with your children. Everybody does. And some of those times, maybe it's in a case where it is something for you to say you're sorry. And just to help them see that was not the right thing for you to do. And you just are open and just share that with them, that you're not perfect, but you love them. And you just address those. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will prompt you to apologize. And then there's times when you are tired and you will be prompted to follow through on something you told your children. You gave your word. And so you're following through even though you don't feel like doing it at that moment. And then there's times where it's easier to give in to a tantrum. Your kid is just making a scene. And it's embarrassing if you're in the store and they're saying, I want that, I want that, I want that. And you're like, no. And then they get louder. And you're just like, oh, dear God. You don't give into that tantrum. And the Holy Spirit will help you not. You may exit the store right away. And there are consequences that come from that decision that your child is making. But when you are prompted to discipline, He will give you the wisdom on how to do it. Doesn't mean that you're abusive when you discipline. It just means that you are choosing to help your child to follow after God, because they are learning to follow God by first of all learning to follow you. And so as you yield to these promptings, you are recognize that God is leading you even when something's serious. Sometimes you've been following those promptings, there are times where you will know a warning. Your child says, hey, can I go do this? And on the inside, you know, no, you can't. And they may be like, well, why can't I go? And you don't even know why they shouldn't go. But on the inside, you're like, that wouldn't be a good thing for you. And so you say no. And so you are following. Even if it's not written in the Bible, they should not go to this activity. But you have developed this sensitivity to God and to Him, and that when He's speaking, you're like, okay, I don't exactly know why, but I don't think you should do that today. Or there is an opportunity. I think you should do this opportunity. I think it would be really good for you. And so you're following these things. I'm going to give another personal example on this. When we were young parents, we had somebody, they were just telling us their experience. Their kids were older. And one of the things that they shared with us was that they didn't have their children have sleepovers. And I'm not saying that that's what you're supposed to do for your family. I'm just telling you what something that we chose, that was in our hearts for us to do. And they gave us several reasons, and one of them was that it's hard to say yes to one family and no to another. You know, the kids are like, well, why do you have a sleepover with them, but you won't come to my house, you know? And another reason was that sometimes you don't know parents very well, and there are some homes where it's not safe to send your children to stay overnight. And so both Pastor Jim and I felt, when they were talking, we just felt like that's really good. And we just felt really strong. Let's put that into practice in our home, raising our children. And so sometimes it wasn't easy. Sometimes there's a lot of pressure. You know, well, everybody else is going, why can't I go? You know, and there can be a pressure to do things, but we continued to stick with our conviction, with what we felt like God was prompting us to do. And he is merciful, and he helps us. And so, you know, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Jim, when he was talking about redeeming the time, he talked about our kids. Again, this isn't a doctrine, like saying that you need to do this, but for us, for our family, where we were at, we had four kids in soccer. We weren't having dinner together. Our Saturdays were broken everywhere. Jim was working full time. And so it was taken away from family time. I couldn't follow through if I tell my kids, hey, you need to do this. You know, whether they did it or didn't, we had to be somewhere. And so I couldn't follow through on things. And so we made this decision that, okay, we're going to pull them out. And let me just tell you, there was so much pressure. I had peace that was the right thing, and Jim and I had talked about it and agreed on it. I had peace about that, but there was pressure. Like, are you doing something wrong? Are you holding your kids back in life? And I mean, there were thoughts that came against my head, but on the inside, there was this peace. And that was another opportunity where I am learning the voice of God. What does that sound like? Do I yield to that? And so he will yield, he will speak to you on these types of things. And again, we're talking about developing the ability to hear God. What does that look like for your daily, day in and day out life? You know, there are times that God is leading you not to watch a movie. He may lead you not to watch a scary movie because it produces images in your mind that will make demonic things seem powerful to you. And it makes you afraid, and it puts fear in you. And so you want to yield to that. I'm not going to do that. Sometimes he will tell you not to watch a movie that stirs up lust, you know, that just makes you want to do the wrong thing in that area. And so you are choosing not to watch certain things. Maybe it's not watch that TikTok. Maybe it's not watch something on Instagram. Maybe it's not watching something on YouTube. There's so many, it's not just movies anymore. There's so many ways that things get into your eyes and into your heart. And so there will be times that God will steer you away from that. He will tell you, don't do that. That's not good for you. And then he may tell you, don't have that food in your house. You know, there's just times where it's like, if it's there, it's a temptation. You're just like, but I like it. Yes. And sometimes there's times in our life where we shouldn't like it as much as we do. And so it's better just not to have it in the house. You know, that's God leading you. He's leading you. He's putting something in your heart. He's saying, leave it. Leave it in, don't even walk down that aisle in the grocery store. You know, there's just certain things. It's like, it's a lot easier if I just order online. I'm not even tempted. Well, still maybe tempted, but it's not as much, you know, you're not seeing it, and it's easy to just put it in your cart. So anyways, he may be telling you, don't go to that party. That's not good for you. What's going on there? That's not good for you. It's not drawing you to God. Don't go to that party. He may tell you, don't hang out with those friends. You are in the world, but you don't have to do the things they're doing. And so they may be acquaintances, but they're not the type of people you should be hanging out with all the time because they get you in trouble. Your strength to do what's right is compromised when you're with them. and you will do something that you know you're not supposed to do. So what do? You just sidestep. Don't put yourself in that type of a situation. And then sometimes he may prompt you to don't listen to that negative thing on that news show or the talk shows. He's prompting you because that negative, that feed that you're getting in will spill over. I can remember a time where, you know, you're watching the news and, of course, everything's negative and the world's coming to an end. And my children would ask me a question and I would bark at them. And I'm like, they didn't even do anything wrong. But I was already in a state of the world is coming to an end and I'm already emotional and I react emotionally to something that was just not even that big of a deal. And I realized, hey, I'm feeding on the wrong thing. I can't have a constant feed of something that's going to produce an emotion to where I can't react properly if my child asks me a simple question. And so he may lead you to do certain things. He may lead you to do what is good for another person. You know, he may have you be a blessing to someone else. He may ask you to share your testimony of what God has done in your life with somebody else. He may prompt you to do these things. He may ask you to develop a friendship with someone. There's all these different things that he is leading and guiding us, and he knows where you're at in your development. And so he's not going to require of you to understand things and make it so difficult to where you can't understand it. He wants you to be in his plan more than you want to be in his plan. I mean, he knows how good it is for you. And so he will do it in a way that you can understand, that you can hear him, that you can follow him. And it may not be easy on your soul. Like I said, there are times where, you know, you're like, am I doing the right thing? I really feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. But you're hit with thoughts. You're hit with emotion. You're hit with what ifs. And you don't know at that time for sure. It's not a definite if what you're doing is the right thing, but you still follow after that peace, that and that voice. I'm you know, God, to the best of my ability, I think this is you. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow you. I'm willing. And so when you do that, he hears your heart. He knows your heart, and he will reveal things to you in a way where you can follow him, and it is so clear. And so, young people, God will show you what you're supposed to do. If you're supposed to go to college, he'll show that to you. He'll show you what direction to take for a career. He will help you know what classes to take in high school, and he will help you to know who to marry. And as parents, as we're pointing our children to God, we're training them. We're training them to hear God, to be sensitive to the things of God. And as we teach them to obey us, we are helping them to learn how to obey God. And you're developing their spirits to hear his promptings. And they become sensitive to the things of God. They have a desire to follow him. These things are so important that we're putting into our children. And so teenagers, you have the ability to train yourself. You know, you're at an age where you start making decisions for yourself. You're training your heart to desire to do things God's way. When you see something in the word, you're saying yes to him and maybe no to what everyone else is doing. But that yes to him allows you to be following on his path. And even if you don't do everything right, which none of us will ever do everything perfectly because we're learning, we're growing, God understands that. You know, there were times where, you might not have the right motivation or you might not have the right heart for certain things and you may get off track. But God is so good, he'll just nudge you, put you right on track if your heart is open to him. If you allow him, he will nudge you and show you this is where to go. This is where you need to be. And so we follow him, we trust him, we obey him to the best of our ability, and then we don't do it in our own strength. We still have to make the choice, but then he will strengthen us. He will help us. He will uphold us. If you look at Isaiah 41:10, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So he's there coming right alongside with you, saying, "I'm going to make this simple." The things of God are simple. It isn't always easy because our soul doesn't want to do it. But if we will say yes to him, he will help us. And then we will reap the benefits of being in the plan of God for our lives. And it is good. We will have a good marriage. We will have children that are serving God. We will enjoy the benefits that come from a life lived for Jesus.